the line, we've got Anthony Corelli, also known as Santino Marella. How you doing, Anthony Santino? What's up?
Oh, man, I'm doing awesome, man. I'm really enjoying the end of the summer and the fall, and living in Toronto is a big time of year.
So how's your health doing?
Health is awesome. Health is awesome. I recently, actually, and I'll put this out there, it really helped. I did laser light therapy on my lower back, and my back feels like I'm in my 20s. Unbelievable. I don't know if everybody's going to have the same results, but I had awesome results. Since I had such good results, I started firing it on my neck. And, you know, the neck is a different issue. I have the double fusion. So it's not bringing my neck back where I wanted it to, but my lower back is feeling good. So I'm feeling good.
How is your neck, though? Because I know you've had, like you mentioned, the fusion and multiple surgeries. How's your mobility right now?
My mobility for day-to-day life is perfect.
Great. So this is actually your third time on the show. We had you on twice before while you were in WWE. The first time we had you on, I answer the phone thinking it's going to be a serious interview, and you say, "Hello, this is Santino." And I'm like, okay, and I went along with it, and you ended up staying in character for the entire interview, and I went along with it, and it ended up being one of the more funny interviews that I've ever done.
Yeah, back in the day, I was kind of instructed to be in character the whole time.
Yeah.
Ever since really my neck surgery is when you can start finding videos of me, or actually, I should say Battle Art. You can see videos of me just being myself, but before that, yeah, I was almost always in character.
So you're like, so Jim Cornette, he come to me and he slapped my head and he says it's because I hate you because you're Canadian.
Classic.
So this time it's the man behind Santino, pulling curtain back a bit. We get Anthony Corelli.
Yeah, I was thought, you know what, Santino was a nice, neat 10-year chapter. Well, I should say my time with WWE was a nice, neat 10 years, 2016, and I'm just really enjoying life back wrestling, man. I had my first garden this year, and, you know, I had my first home in my hometown where I, you know, cut the grass and rent the neighbors, and I'm here to do things on the week. I mean, I still do appearances and stuff like that, and I'm obviously here. But it's just great to be home, man. And I was thinking, like, if they call and say, "Hey, we have this idea," I'm going to have to probably decline it, and I'm just get on with my life, you know.
How tough was it for you to retire from the industry? It must have been a hard transition.
Not really. The reason is because I started Battle Arts while I was still active, and while I was off for my neck injury, it was a blessing in disguise, so to speak, because I was able to really focus on my business. And Battle Arts is a huge undertaking, it's a massive facility, and we do a lot of different things there. So when the contract expired and they opted not to renew it, I was like, well, okay, I guess I'm down to four jobs instead of five, you know. So it wasn't too bad. I'm actually starting on Sportsnet in November. I was doing the Aftermath team for now and another TV show, and I'll work my way up to get my own show eventually and stuff. So you'll be able to see me across the country.
Great. So that'll be on Sportsnet 360?
Yeah.
Okay, so you mentioned Battle Arts. You own and operate the Battle Arts Academy in Ontario, and I know you trained at the original Battle Arts in Japan. So tell us a little bit about the Battle Arts Academy.
Well, Battle Arts is it was this hybrid dojo in Japan that MMA and pro wrestlers just train together, and the common denominator, the foundation for both, was submission wrestling or catch wrestling. And, you know, I just love the philosophy. I love the way they viewed professional wrestling as being a professional act and just having to out-train everybody and work really hard. So it was that Battle Arts style that got me noticed. I went to put it up because the whole name of the game is standing out. So I stood out a lot because of that style. And I brought Mr. Ishikawa here, Canada, and he was Asuka's coach too. So he's in the UCL, she wrestles. So he's providing our guys a really strong foundation of submission wrestling, And then from there, they can branch off to MMA, pro wrestling, or some of our guys, both.
All right. What have you learned now being a teacher as compared to previously being a student of martial arts?
Oh, yeah. It's funny because I was on the national judo team for Canada a long time ago. And I stepped away from judo basically the duration of my wrestling career. And now I'm back to judo. And funny, like last night, for example, I just was sparring one of the kids on dinner, you know, like our groundwork, like just kind of stuff. And I remembered a technique, and I was like, damn, I've been trying to remember that one. So I did it, and I, you know, called the class around and demonstrated in front of everybody. But yeah, the thing for me is just trying to remember a lot of judo that I was taught growing up.
Ryan Ryder here for Main Event Radio on the line. Anthony Carelli, also known as Santino Marella. So, Anthony, how did you learn about your release from WWE earlier this year?
Oh, it was just a phone call. They just said because I was off for with my injury, they have the option to extend your contract for as long as the time you were off. And they just at first they were going to do that. So I was, you know, I had a job until 2017, and then they just said we're not going to invoke that clause, and we're going to let your contract expire in June, and that was it. And I was like, well, hey, it's been awesome. You guys have done really well with me and my family and treated me very well, I should say. So that was it, yeah. It was a weird day. It's funny, my wife and I had a trip to Florida planned, and I saw the office call, and I'm like, damn, it's going to screw up my trip probably.
Aww.
So I said, honey, the good news is our trip's okay. Bad news is that's it. After this come to an end. And it was liberating. I remember I was in the backyard and like always know what's coming, and this is it. Life after WWE, here we go.
Was there ever any discussion of you returning for a backstage role or possibly as a trainer in NXT?
There was a discussion of me being taking on a non-physical role. I thought it was going to be the SmackDown GM, and I guess they opted not to, but That's fine. If I did go back now, it would have to be on a one day a week schedule, like fly in for Raw, fly home. I got a lot of stuff. I got a lot of equipment I have to keep, so I could probably swing that.
Never say never in this business.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, you know, the cool thing, I was just talking to a guy at Home Depot right now. He recognized me. And one of the things I get a lot, coming up to me and saying, man, it's not the same without you, and it's funny, and I'm not watching anymore, you're not on there. I'm like, and I hear it a lot, like more than just once or twice, so I'm like, there must be something to it, but it really makes me feel good that people are missing you, you know?
Your persona really, I guess, meant something to a lot of people.
Yeah, I think I was the real people's champ, because I came from the audience, and, you know, 5'10", not overly muscular build, and I think people related to that guy. I see a lot of kids that, and Santino was a, you know, every dog will have his day, miracles can happen, and I think people related to the fact, you know, maybe they visualize themselves in there and thinking, you know, if the stars line up, and today's my day, and, you know, anything's possible.
It was the modern-day American dream, except it was the Canadian dream.
Yeah.
So, was there any contact from TNA or Ring of Honor about doing something in one of those organizations?
No, some of the boys at TNA are talking about stuff, but I'm good.
So, you talked about your career, former two-time Intercontinental Champion, winning it on your TV debut, going from the crowd, Tag Team Champion with Kozlov, you got to travel the world. What would you say was the favorite memory that you have from your time in WWE?
Near the end of my career, I really dialed in my work, and I would go out there, and I would not have, like, one waste footstep, you know? I was really telling stories very well. I had the audience completely engaged the entire match. And just knowing that I became really good at a professional wrestler, means a lot to me professionally, and I would have what they call monitor sellout. But the monitor's in the back where all the boys are sitting watching the show, and the reason we watch it is that they don't go out there and repeat things that everyone's doing. You want to, you know, if they do something significant in their match that you had planned, you know, you'll change it anyway. But, you know, the aides, the producers, and the referees come up to me and they say, man, during your matches, the monitor is sold out. Sometimes people are warming up, running to the locker room, they're getting some food or coffee, whatever. But during my matches, all the boys would watch, enjoy, and laugh. That meant a lot to me, too. Of course, the European tours are some very fond memories also.
Why is that?
Oh, we just because we're working so much, and we're not driving our own cars, and, you know, there's catering for us, and the buses are filled with beer, and it's an awesome time. It's a lot of hard work, but it's an awesome time.
So is there anything that you would have done differently looking back?
No. I mean, I would have liked to have been a badass, but, you know, whatever. I had to pay the bills, so I wasn't. But, no, I wouldn't change anything at all.
Like I said, you never know in this business. You came up as a badass in developmental, and throughout your main television run, it was the Santino character.
Yeah, exactly.
So how did you end up portraying the character of Santina at WrestleMania 25?
Oh, man. Well, I was in this kind of gender battle between myself and Santina, and I was trying to demonstrate that males are superior athletes. And so I was going to dress up as my sister and, you know, sneak my way into this battle royal and hopefully win it, and that way prove that, you know, males are superior athletes. Well, it was so funny to the boss that did it for like 3 months. And I was like, damn, I guess did it too good. Now he wants to see it all the time.
You really liked it. Do you have any good road stories to share with us today?
Well, the road stories are always fun. You know, I had a few cars. Like, I rode Randy Orton for my first 3 years, and then he got his bus, so I rode with Kozlov while we were tagging, and that was always fun. You know, he's just awesome. For the last 3 years with Damian Sandow was my riding partner, so we always had good times. Or for a long time, it was me, Damian Sandow, and Brodus Clay, all in one car or SUV, and that was just always fun. We were just joking the whole ride and, you know, having fun.
Brodus seems like a really funny guy.
Brodus, yeah, he's hilarious and very smart, too.
What's the story between the bodybuilding contest that you had with Cody Rhodes at a WrestleMania party that involved Kid Rock?
Yeah, so Cody was, you know, young and brash, and he always had his abs, and we're just kind of jaw-jacking back and forth. And he called me fat, because I was heavy at the time. And I said, yeah, maybe I am fat, but I can lose this weight, and if I lost this weight, I would beat you in a bodybuilding contest, because I have the genetics for it, just tall and skinny. And he was just so upset at the whole fact that I said that. But then, you know, everyone's egging us on, so we set the date. And it was at the WrestleMania after party, and we had like months and months in preparation. I went down, probably started at about 230 pounds, and I waited on stage 203 pounds. And I got, you know, I did my hour of cardio every day. I got a posing instructor. I got the professional tights. And the thing with Kid Rock is that at the after party, Kid Rock was hanging out, and he was starting to jam with the band, and then they called for Muscle Mania. That's what it was called, Muscle Mania. And when, you know, Kid Rock saw Cody take off his clothes, he just said, okay, I'm out of here. Thank you. And he left the stage.
Did you win?
I won, yeah.
Okay. So you really took it seriously.
I took it very serious. And you know what? I just basically used competition to bring out the best in me, you know?
It's always good to do that. Jingle All the Way, too. You had a acting role with Larry the Cable Guy. How was that experience?
awesome. It was very good. In fact, come January, I'm going to go and put myself out there with regards to acting once more. And I'm a really good actor. I can do tons of different roles, and it's just about having the opportunity to get out there and make these relationships and meet people and show them. You really got to show them what you can do.
What would be your dream style of film to take part in?
I wouldn't mind doing one of those things where maybe like a single dad kind of with a little daughter, romantic comedy, something like that, maybe.
I can see you playing that.
Yeah.
So Sunday night is WWE Hell in a Cell. Would you be willing to give us some of your picks for Sunday's show?
I would if I could, but I don't know any matches on.
So let me tell you. First of all, it's the first ever women's Hell in a Cell.
Oh, yeah.
Between Charlotte and Sasha Banks. Sasha defending the women's championship against the former champion, Charlotte.
Charlotte might get that back.
Yeah, I would think so. And then it's Kevin Owens against none other than Seth Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
Also in a Hell. First of all, there's three Hell in a Cell matches. What do you think about there being three Cell matches in one event?
I think maybe less is more. But I'm sure the audience will love everyone.
So, for Owens and Rollins, what's your pick?
I don't know. I think Seth is more agile with regards to climbing the fence, so I'll give it to Seth.
And then the third Hell in a Cell is Roman Reigns and Rusev.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm a big Roman Reigns fan. I think he's awesome. And plus, Rusev is the one that it was my last match and his final camel clutch, what do you call it, the accolade.
All right. He was your final match.
Yeah.
So he took you out. He ended the career of Santino.
It's funny because, the expression, the straw that broke the camel's back?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the straw was a camel clutch that broke the camel's back.
It really pulled on your neck.
Yeah, it aggravated my neck to the point where I could not move my head at all. And, it would come and go. And there were flare-ups. This one was home at the end of the line. I couldn't wrestle anymore.
Do you feel that Roman Reigns gets an unnecessarily bad reputation amongst a certain portion of the audience?
Well, the WWE Universe is very trendy, and they're very click, even especially now with the online community. And so it's cool and trendy to boo him and dislike him. But deep down inside, everyone likes him. It's like Italians eating Kraft dinner, They're programmed not to like it, but when they first try it for the first time, they all secretly love it.
That's true. So what's next for you, Anthony Corelli? You mentioned potential film roles. What else are you, the Battle Arts Academy in Ontario, what else are you working on right now, and where can we see you?
Battle Arts is interesting because it's multiple things. So we have professional wrestling here, we have nationwide TV, we have local TV, we do three Olympic sports, judo, wrestling, and boxing, and our kids are competing and traveling around. We do. We have football players, hockey players, soccer players training in the Ontario Performance Center, which is at the other side of Battle Arts Academy. I mean, if you're one of those athletes that you're maybe 14, 15, and you want to get drafted to the OHL or just really improve your physical performance to the point where you're undeniably going to get a scholarship or something like that, and we work with those athletes. I just love working with real athletes and just watching them grow and develop. It's awesome. We had a boxing match last weekend. One of our fighters, 11-year-old, is boxing, his amateur fight, and it just doesn't get better. It does not get better.
So where can people find more information about the Battle Arts Academy?
BattleArtsAcademy.ca.
All right. Anthony Corelli, thanks for joining us this afternoon on Main Event Radio, and we hope to have you on again sometime soon.
Absolutely, anytime.
giorno possiederò la potenza.